a Conti, bella palla per Rebic, Rebic Ibra, Rebic, 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 il tiro, goal!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
Hey guys, today fucking sucks. We got Madison with us as well.
Yeah, it sucks, but it looks like Oliver's out of the dungeon and in a proper room to be recording in, so... You know, small wins, big win for Everton, but
baby steps, baby steps.
And I'm not that mad.
Yeah, no, you're actually, your video looks the best
I'm
out of everyone.
I'm not actually that mad.
Yeah, he's not mad. I was expecting like four glum faces. We've got three, and then Jan, who is, you know, a few beers in, so probably feeling a bit of the effects of that. But this is a shitter, because we've got to go back and review the Red Star game before we talk about what happened today. Even though I know we all really just want to launch into dissecting how we lost the derby 3-0. But we'll start with the Red Star game and quickly go over it. And then we've also got two games to preview as well. So we'll see how long this ends up going. So the Red Star game, I was happy with the team selection personally. I thought with today's game, record on Sunday after the derby, with the derby on the horizon, it was the right thing to rotate the players that he did. I thought it was perhaps a little bit questionable to have Teo start on the left and Romagnoli as well. I thought if you're going to rotate, then do it properly and give Dalot a game at left back and try get him back into any kind of form that you can. And yeah, it was a strange game. We took the lead twice and we couldn't hang on to it either time. Ireland, after the game, I thought the game management was pretty bad. But yeah, I think I said don't lose and we should be able to get the job done at home.
Yeah, we took the lead four times, actually. Just the first two times didn't count. And then the second two times were canceled out. That was a frustrating game, but not because of our performance. I thought we played well. It was just a few small things that went the wrong way. And once again, we couldn't capitalize on a 10-man side. So I don't know why whenever our opposition gets a red card, we seem to just set back and, you know, let them push forward, because at that point, that's all they can do. And it worked for them. You know, they had an incredible goal from the... I'm mixing all my games together here. Was the free kick set piece one? No, that was Spezia. Jesus Christ, I'm all behind. Oh, theirs was a corner. That's what it was. It was a set piece, right? Yeah. That was how they equalized in stoppage time.
Yep, corner in like the 93rd minute.
Yeah. You'll never do that again, though. It hit the back of his head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But just goes to show our...
This team just is all out of whack. Like, they can't close a game. They can't... seems like they can't put many passes together. I thought that we were lucky to get the goals that we got in the game on Thursday. And I think that Thursday is going to be a lot harder than we think it is.
I agree to a certain extent that, like, we can be a bit annoyed in the way that we drew the game on Thursday. But if you actually, when you go back and look at it, when we were 2-1 up, the players didn't seem that interested about scoring a third. And I think that's more to do with the fact that we got two away goals. And I think in any European tie, if you score two away goals, you know, you're pretty much into the next round. As naive as it may sound, that is the case. And I'm disappointed in the way that we conceded the second, but like AJ said, we scored four. All right, yeah, two got disallowed, but that could have been a totally different game and there should have been a foul on. I think it was Castillejo, and then was it even a corner? So you can be a bit disheartened by it, but I don't think there's too much to criticise really from the game other than the fact we conceded late on and we didn't maybe capitalise with 10 men, but I don't think we really needed to.
Yeah, I think there's two trains of thought for how this Thursday is going to go. Is either we bounce back after this horrendous week we've had and we show what we're made of and we make a statement at home, or we collapse and we crumble under the pressure of what's been going on. And, you know, hopefully Pioli can make it the former of the two, but I'm worried after it just seems like we haven't been firing since the Atalanta game. You know, we lost that one and then we immediately lost the cup game against Inter and then the Spezia draw, and even the wins in between haven't been great performances. And then of course, this and then the derby. So it's like, I don't know, if we can't get it back together, it's looking grim, boys. It's looking grim.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a decline in 2021 as a calendar year in general. I would say we've already lost more games.
We have more than twice as many losses this year
Yeah, we're struggling a little bit. We're struggling. The Red Star game, I think Jan's absolutely right. You know, with two away goals, that's even though we didn't win that first leg, we've got a foot in the next round because we shouldn't really be losing at home to Red Star. I saw some people comment on Twitter saying, looking at the Serbian league table and how dominant they've been. They've won all but two games this season. They'd have like a plus 47 goal difference, that they were expecting Red Star to be better. But they were a tough side. Like, they're a pretty tough physical side. They made things difficult, but we definitely made enough chances to win that game. 4-2, let's say. And you know, I think for their second goal, there was a foul in the build-up, and I don't even think it was a corner. So we can feel aggrieved about that. But now Thursday becomes an interesting paradigm in the sense that if we show up and we do our business, let's say we win 2 or 3 nil, nobody's going to bat an eyelid because it's what we're expected to do. But if we really struggle, or worst comes to worst, we somehow get knocked out, it will be full-blown chaos. It's like it's almost like a situation where we can only lose, really. I think that might be a bit, I don't know, I think it'll weigh on them a little bit.
I agree, but you look at, like, for example, like the majority of Milan Twitter, they all wanted us to go out in the Coppa Italia against Inter, saying, oh, it won't matter if we go out. That's been mentally affected us, and it has done. It's a fact. Ever since then, we haven't looked, be like, yeah, you could say Atalanta, but since that game, we've looked a bit off pace. And then they were like, oh, the Europa League's nothing. But you look at it, and we're now using that as our excuse to build up some form. It just shows how every single game is important. And when you're a team like Milan, every game you should be looking to win. It shouldn't be we can let this game go because we've got this game. Every game should be a win. And now we're starting to see a bit of an effect because we're starting to lose in all competitions.
Mm. Yeah, the form carries over. Once you stop clicking in one, I mean, the Coppa Italia, we said it so many times, you know, you can sign up for a defeat to Inter in any competition, whatever you want, but it isn't good. It doesn't feel good. The players do not enjoy losing to a rival team like that, regardless of what you think as of the competition as a random Twitter user, you know. And it was interesting when we did that preview on Friday with Sia. He said, he made quite a big deal out of that cup win and said that that was kind of the thing that got them going again because of what happened with the Ibra-Lukaku clash. They saw, you know, Inter as a team like rallying around one of their leaders, and psychologically it was a massive boost for us. And I think it was as big a boost for them as it was a blow for us. And it's knocked us off kill or all out of whack, like Maddie said. And we need answers. We need answers, and we don't get any respite after the Red Star game because we've got a trip to Roma, and they will be smelling blood with the way that we are at the moment. I know Roma's record against top six sides isn't amazing, and you know, maybe that'll play into our hands a little bit as well. But if they
would argue that our recent form does not make us a top six side.
Well, I'd argue our placement in the table does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we should. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go on.
And that's all I was going to say. I would argue that, I mean, in 2021, we lost 4 games. You know, in 2020, we lost 2. So in the first 2 months of the year, we've already doubled our losses. I think that if we put a clinic on Red Star on Thursday, then we'll win on Sunday. I think if we struggle on Thursday, then we are going to struggle on Sunday as well. I think the team needs a good performance on Thursday to get their confidence up to be like, this is how we're supposed to play. And, you know, then hopefully we have a 6-point lead over second place, third place going into next week.
Yeah, I agree with that because I said it a couple of weeks back, like, it's better off playing. When you're so used to playing every 3 days, your body becomes accustomed to it. If you go to the gym and you hit the gym 6 days a week and then you have a full week off, your body feels it the next time you go to the gym. So with footballers, when they get accustomed to playing every 3 days, they're accustomed to it. And having like the 2 weeks off, well, a week and a half off over Christmas, then a week before the Spezia match, I think we've just become a bit lazy and we've had time to think about the league table and stuff like that. Whereas when we were playing every 3 days, it would just match, train, or match rest train game, and we didn't have time to think, and we were a lot more confident. We actually looked a lot more fitter and a lot more up for it than we do now.
We did look a lot fitter. I think the stop's done us bad, and I mean, it was reported. I can't remember which paper it was that that first week off we had after the first leg of the Coppa Italia, when obviously we had the full week off, and we were told it would be a blessing. We did quite heavy, intense sessions during that week, apparently. And I think there's an element of regret about that now. We should have used that to try and get some energy back in the tank, you know, because I think if you're playing three games every 8 days, you're playing twice a week, basically. And your battery never really fully recharges to 100, but it might charge up to 80. And then you're using the momentum of wins to top up the rest. We should have used that week off as a chance to get back to 100%. And it sounds like the players are pretty depleted in terms of energy levels because of what we chose to do. So we're going to be back in that rhythm anyway. If we go through against Red Star, then it becomes a bit more crowded with the Europa League again. So fingers crossed we can get that rhythm back. If we're going to run deep into the Europa League, as Inter found out last season, it can actually help you finish the season strong. And they obviously ended up just 1 point behind Juventus in the end last season. So I would like to see. I've changed my mind a bit on that. I thought before Europa League, we ain't going to win it. You know, we're going to come up against a team that's a bit better equipped than us. You know, like an Ajax or whatever, and lose that way. But I think we've got to go deep. We've got to go deep and use every game as a potential launching pad to the next one, rather than just sort of ambling through the schedule. And I know that we had injury problems. You know, it's been well documented. We've had a lot of soft tissue, muscle problems that come with having an intense style of play and an intense workload. But we were dealing with it. That's the weird thing, is that we were putting in good performances even when we had so many selection problems. And now, as we mentioned last week with the chemistry, we've got basically a fully fit 11 in terms of what we choose. And we look completely disjointed again. So I wonder how much of that plays into it. I want to mention one player that has been slated repeatedly on this podcast that actually I thought had a good game against Red Star. Krunic impressed me in that attacking midfield role. I wanted to pick him out because just think he's had quite a lot of stick from me included, especially about him being included in the squad at all over Hauge. But I think he did a good job of linking up and all that. And if Rebic had been a bit more clinical, then he might have had a couple of assists to his name. But it is what it is. Everyone else was a bit average, really, I think. Can't think of anybody else who really stood out. So, should we get into it?
I think just what I will say on that Red Star game, I'm starting to worry about Mandzukic, because he just does not look like the player that he was a year and a half ago at Juventus.
He looks lost on the field. Yeah. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing.
He just doesn't look like he's part of the team. He doesn't look like he's got a role, any instructions or anything. Yeah, all right, he might have done a bit of pressing, but not just including the Red Star game, the couple appearances that he's had before that, he just doesn't look ready at all. He looks completely off it.
Yeah, well, remember, he hasn't played a game in 6 months also. I mean, he said he was doing personal training, but there's a big difference in fitness when you're actually playing games versus just preparing for them. So I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to get going, but absolutely we're in that final stretch of the season where it's like everyone needs to be ready. And if he wasn't there, then maybe it wasn't the best signing to make. But I got faith. I don't think he's there yet. I would agree with you on that.
I agree with like the match fitness bit, but when you look at how he was supposed to be the deputy fever, I haven't been a massive Colombo fan, but I don't know the difference that he's making to what Colombo would have done if he'd have stayed. Yeah, like Colombo's not even getting game time at Cremonese, really, but I think he might have done a bit more of a job than what Mandzukic is doing at the minute.
I think it would have perhaps been a little bit harsh to expect Mandzukic to come in and be firing immediately. We were always going to give him 10 minutes there, 20 minutes there, and build him up to his first start. He got his first start in kind of difficult conditions because you got to remember that the players that were giving him service were not our usual creative players. And I think that it was kind of evident. The problem for me is, the worry for me comes from the fact that in his first start, he's already suffered a muscle problem. That for me is like, is this going to be a recurring theme that we just can't keep him fit? And there does seem to be a bit of a theme developing, I've noticed on Twitter, which I know isn't always the most rational gauge of consciousness, but the idea that two of our three January signings are actually flops, you know, that Mandzukic probably isn't going to contribute too much and that Mete is having difficulty. I actually thought Mete wasn't too bad when he came on today in the derby. And then Tomori is obviously great, but we're not using him enough. You know, he should have started today.
I was just going to say, I would argue that Mete only looked good because we had already kind of given up and it was difficult to fit in with everyone else's low level at that point, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I'd say slightly opposite. I don't think Mete is doing as bad as everyone's making out to be. I think we're desperate to find a scapegoat so that we don't hurt the like reputation of, say, Kessie, Benanza, Tonali at the minute.
Kessie had a bad game today.
And we're looking for a scapegoat so we don't hurt the players that we love. But at the minute, I don't actually think Mete is doing that bad. Like, he's getting a lot of stick for the Red Star goal, which, all right, yeah, he could have done better, but I wouldn't say it was totally his fault. And then you look at like the Inter game in the Coppa Italia second leg, he's getting stick for the Martinez, for the Eriksen free kick for the foul on Martinez, and he didn't even foul him. He's getting a lot of stick, and I don't actually think he's doing that bad, to be honest. I think we're just looking for someone
that,
to blame.
The Red Star goal is his fault. He didn't defend the player who scored at all. I mean, that shouldn't have been a corner, but regardless, it was given, and the man that he was marking scored. So I don't know how you can defend that, but
I think he could have defended the man better, but in terms of the way that the Red Star player headed the ball, I don't think Mete could have done much to, say, block it or anything. Yeah, he could have done better with their man marking, but the way that that ball looped up in there, I don't really know what we wanted Mete to do there.
I just wanted him to jump a little bit higher. I mean, it looked like a bunny hop.
At least show an effort.
Yeah, it looked like a whoop. Like, I could jump higher than that in my chair right now sitting down. I mean, it wasn't a good hop. Do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mete did that higher.
Straight. They probably did. I know, I was like, ooh, it's going to break.
Yeah, I will always question putting a holding midfielder or whatever we call Mete on their number nine. That always seems a bit of a strange one to me. You should put your best centre-back on.
Let's talk about that, actually, because who is our best centre-back? He's on the bench, Tomori.
I think he's just primavera player.
No, well, we put Ibra on usually if they've got a tall centre-forward, then we put Ibra on them for set pieces, and that tends to work pretty well. But... yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Mete wasn't the combative presence we needed in the box for a set piece like that. I guess he's shown that he's prone to lapses in concentration, but it's what it is. We're micro-analysing. Let's move on and absolutely rip into the team for today. Who wants to go first?
I think that since this is a general overview of how we've looked since Ibra's come back, we've looked like shit. And I think that when Liao was starting, the team looked a lot more competitive and a lot more speedy. I think that Ibrahimovic has lost his edge the second half of the season, and it's kind of taken an effect on the entire team.
Someone actually asked, I need to get this out there, that old Lucas, the ratings guy, who you absolutely love, Matty, asked if last time...
I bet he loved the Liverpool game this weekend.
Yeah, he should have worn your Everton shirt.
Matty's just got a minus two.
But he asked,
please, I never get ratings. It's just NA.
Yeah, I think it's just it. He asked if Ibra's already at San Remo, which I thought was quite funny. Because I think that's harsh based on the derby.
Yeah.
It was incredibly naive. Like, I was not happy with the entire performance because I feel like we've now lost the same way against Atalanta and the same way against Juve as well, but that was different because we had a few players out, but not necessarily the way that the defeat happened. Obviously, we got to Atalanta, pegged back early in this game, and then the Atalanta game, it was more a case of we knew that their goal was coming. But it's just the idea that in what we do, we play to the other team's strengths rather than focusing on what we're good at. I feel like we showed Inter way too much respect from the start. We let them dominate the ball. We let Lukaku drift into dangerous areas. And of all the players to score a header against us in the early stages, it should not have been Lautaro. You know, if Lukaku leaps and beats you in the air and heads one inside the top corner, then you say, okay. But for Lautaro to have 5 yards of space on the edge of the, you know, or just inside the penalty area, it's just absolutely unforgivable.
Yeah, he's 5'9". No one 5'9" should be jumping for a header and beating anyone.
While we're on that goal, I may as well get it out there on video because I've already tweeted it and got abuse for it. I actually think Donnarumma's got to take some responsibility for that goal.
I agree. Like, he pulls his hand back.
Like, he's literally, all right, yeah, it might be 6 yards away from where Lautaro is heading the ball, but instead of keeping his hands like there or raising them a little bit, he just drops them and the ball goes straight past him. And I think Donnarumma, obviously, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, but recently I've been starting to see his commanding of the area has been dipping a little bit. And I think goals like that, as much as you can blame Romagnoli, you can blame Pierre, Donnarumma has to take control of situations like that and come out and grab the ball, or at least keep his hands in a position where that ball, I don't think, really goes past him if he stays like that.
I agree. And that's one of the main things I've criticized Tata Rushanu for. Was every goal that he's let in, I said, Donnarumma would at least go for it. He would at least try it. He tries on everything. And to your point, he didn't try. You know, whether he anticipated it or not, he at least could have tried. And you saw that he thought about it because he stuck his hand out and then just kind of pulled away. And instead, with the Kier, like, it's like, what are you doing, you know? And maybe the commanding thing is because Romagnoli's back. Romagnoli's captain. So he's like kind of letting off, letting Romagnoli handle the commanding thing. And obviously that's not working. But you notice when Donnarumma was captain, when Gabia was in, he was yelling everything. He doesn't do that anymore. And the only correlation I could find is that the captain's back, even though Gigi was the better captain. But
yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And like with the thing where he's kept his, like he's suddenly dropped his hands, like if he'd have been rooted to the spot, and his hands had just been, right, good goal. But he's actually had his hands there. And then as the ball's got closer, he's kind of dropped him. If you actually watched the replay, he dropped him. And it just goes straight past him. I just think look, you can't blame Donnarumma solely for the goal because a lot more happened before that. But I think he has got to take a bit of responsibility from it. For someone that's wanting the wages that he's wanting, should be doing a bit better than that. When you look at the chances that Ibra missed and Handanovic saved, which were a lot harder to save.
Yeah,
Donnarumma should be saving them. I think it's only been, I'm only trying to be fair by dishing out a bit of criticism.
And maybe some of it's the mental aspect. Like we know we're in poor form and they're thinking Inter's going to come at us. They're pushing hard. Like they're going to score one. And so in the situation, Gigi just kind of thought like, well, here we go. This is it. And he expected
to concede
a goal.
That seems like he'd have to.
I mean,
like
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. As soon as the game started, I said, like, we're either going to.
All right, Inter, here's your one goal. No, man. You get to score one. They're just not going to stop scoring.
Every derby that we've played since Latin's return, we've had to start off strong. And as soon as they peg one back, it's over. Minus the one game earlier this season where they went ahead first and we magically pulled it off. But every time we start strong, and if we don't go ahead, we don't get the result.
Yeah, we haven't won a game this season where we've been behind against anybody. And I think that that's absolutely telling. But yeah, the first goal is definitely principally on a lack of defensive organisation. The thing that pisses me off about it most is that the one thing that we would all, as Milan fans, have said before the game that we need to do is make sure that we don't let Lukaku get in isolation with Romagnoli, because he's going to win that battle 9 times out of 10. So what happened? He had a free run at him. Initially, Romagnoli does well to get down and block the cross coming in. But of course, it goes straight back out to him and he can just pick his spot at that point. There's a lack of communication between Calabria and Kier about who should be covering Lautaro. And then, yeah, one thing I will say about that is, and I agree with that, I think that Donnarumma should always just make yourself as big as possible, even if it's at point blank range and who knows, you might save it. But also the slow-mo does him a bit dirty there. Like the slow-mo makes it look like he's deliberately dropped his hands. And
sure.
But yeah.
Of course it does, but like...
It still happens.
Even if it was slow-mo, you'd still be able to see his hands there if he'd have kept his hands there. Like, that's just a fact. If he'd have jumped up like that, his hands would still be there in the slow-mo. And I think it might do him a little bit dirty, but you can see his hands are dropping. And look, you can't blame him solely for it, but he has got to take a bit of responsibility for someone that's wanting, or Raiola, for example, wanting 10 million a year in wages for him. He has got to do a bit better.
Mm-hmm. I think
he should come out and claim the cross. I don't think it was that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, he definitely should have gotten the cross. Well,
but then again, Kier was right in front of him. Do you jump over your defender? I mean,
it could be.
You tell him to get the hell out of the way because you're coming out. That's what you do. You command the area, like John said, he hasn't been doing. So,
yeah,
it was up to the penalty spot is a goalkeeper's area.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've obviously got the 18-yard box, but anything as far as a penalty spot is where the goalkeeper should be commanding it, coming out, grabbing it, setting up a counter, whatever. And recently, not just this game, but he has looked a bit weak at doing that. Like, I think we analysed it a few weeks ago when we said that, like, we loved how we'd pick the ball up, set Teo going. I don't remember the last time that we actually properly saw that work. Like, we just looked completely...
We did do it today.
Ruined it at the back.
Yeah, it end.
But just really not effect, as effectively as we had done.
Right,
the one
right.
time we did it today, it went really badly. We lost the ball pretty much straight away and, afterwards.
And I noticed it bothered me because... Teo was almost double covered when we did it, and Calabria was wide open, and I believe Kier was as well. That whole right side of the defense, no one was covering because Conti watches film. He says, okay, every time they get the ball, they play out the back and straight to Teo, that's their counter. So they double cover Teo, and what do? We still give it to Teo. Like, yeah, he's quicker than anyone on the pitch, but there's only so much you could do when you have that many people surrounding you, and obviously it didn't work. So I don't know. It seems like we either – make our own decisions when they're not the right move, or we follow the script even when it's not going to work. It's strange.
Well, it's that what I was, what looking at the game in general, I would say we played into their hands, but in every single little thing that we did, we also played right into their hands. And just before, you know, ranting even more, I want to say it's not the fact that we lost. It's not the fact that we lost 3-0, because I think it was actually a harsh scoreline when you look at the balance of play. But it's the manner in which we lost again that really pisses me off. Switching off for that first goal, you know, just don't leave Lukaku with a run. Don't leave Lautaro unmarked. Bang, that's 1-0. And then we're chasing the game and that plays perfectly into their hands, because a lot of people don't realise it, but Conte's team play very similar to what we do. They're quite good at retaining the ball, but also if they have to press and win the ball back, they break on you very quickly because they've got two up front and they've got an amazing wing back in Hakimi, and they make things very difficult for you when you're in defensive transition. So when we were left chasing the game, what they essentially just did is packed out the midfield. How many times have we said it? We can't do anything when they pack out the midfield. That sent us long over the top, and we finally did that on about 30 minutes. Atalanta, it took us longer to do that when we were completely out of that game. But we went over the top. And I think when we started targeting Ibra, who Skriniar and De Vrij tended to hug rather than Bastoni, we actually started to cause a few more problems for them, but without creating any massive opportunities. And then we started the second half so well that I felt certain that we were going to score, especially after that amazing double save and then the save on Tonali as well to follow that up. But the one thing that you've got to make sure is that you don't get too carried away and give something up at the other end. And the two goals that we let them score on the break were just absolutely embarrassing. You know, it just can't happen. Like, we're in that game at 1-0. And it was the thing that I thought was going to hurt us that hurt us. Their second goal, if you watch it, it all comes from a Hakimi run cutting in from the right flank where we don't have anybody over to get to the ball runner. And then the ball eventually comes over to Perisic, who's their left wing back, who's supplying an overload. Kier goes down too easily. I don't know why he's dropping to the floor that soon. And Lautaro, again, edge of the 6-yard box, utterly unmarked for an easy finish. And it's like at that point, at 2-0 down, we all said in the group chat, that's it, it's game over. It's now a question of how many. And then the third goal, what do you not do? Please don't leave Lukaku in isolation with a tired Romagnoli. We did it again. He absolutely schooled him and smacked it past Donnarumma, who I think didn't see the shot, to be fair.
I don't think it even matters that it was a tired Romagnoli, just alone with Romagnoli.
Just
I mean,
a Romagnoli.
The,
you could see that he was
the footballing IQ of Romagnoli to... I understand you got to, you know, cover all the zones. So he's like, he's doing the sidestep, but no one assumes Lukaku's going to his right. I mean, he's a left-footed striker. That's his preferred foot. Like, he's going to cut left. He's going to put it on his left foot. And you've seen him time and time again with that huge first touch to switch it. You know that's what he's going to do. And I get you got to leave it open because he can switch it up on you sometimes. But come on, man. Like, you know he's going on his left. Cover his left. If you're going to leave the right open, at least that's his weaker foot, and then he has a chance of not having a great shot. It just, I mean...
It pisses me off because we'd seen Lukaku do it when he was on the... It was our left corner of the box, but he did that fake shot and then cut inside onto his left foot and had that shot that Donnarumma saved. It was pretty much straight at him. So we knew that he was always looking to go onto his stronger foot. The thing that pisses me off about Romagnoli is definitely a lack of confidence. That's what I've, you know, having seen it week in, week out now, I think that's what it's absolutely down to. I did that big feature about it. It ended up being like 2,000 words long about what Romagnoli's good at, what we've seen, you know, the credit he has in the bank for doing certain things, and then what he's not so good at. What he used to be really good at is knowing when to step up and challenge someone on the break who's playing the ball. Now he just backs off constantly. And we keep seeing it cost us a goal, and that just cannot happen. Like, you know, you're the captain, so you've got to set an example through your performances. And he looks like a defender that's running scared at the moment. And we got some comments in the YouTube section, the YouTube comments section, basically saying that we were being a bit too harsh on Romagnoli and that we only pick him out for criticism. But you got what you wanted. You know, we've got our evidence now. We can see it. He's really struggling. I don't understand either about why Pioli came out in the press conference and started talking up Tomori, saying that he's perfect to play against a guy like Lautaro. Do it then. Play him.
And he is too. That's the thing. Like, if you look at our winter transfer window, like, we brought in a backup in Mandzukic, a backup in Mete, and a potential upgrade in Tomori. So why is the only one that not playing is the only one that's worth a damn? It makes no fucking sense.
I just don't see how you can, the day before the game, you can talk him up, say, oh, he's perfect for Lautaro, and then 5 minutes in the game, it shows you exactly why Tomori should have started, because I don't think Lautaro scores that goal. And if Tomori starts over Romagnoli, Lukaku doesn't get the better of Tomori in that one-on-one situation, in my opinion. Tomori's pace at least matches him. And then flip it on the other side, if Tomori starts instead of Kier, that header doesn't go past Tomori. I just cannot... That's one criticism that I will have of Pioli, is I just can't understand why you can talk of a player saying he's perfect for X, Y, Z and then not starting to contain X, Y, Z. It's just ridiculous.
It was like it was reverse psychology. So Conte thought, oh, he's going to start tomorrow. Do we need to do something a bit different? Without a doubt, Sia, when Sia said on Friday there seems to be this obsession with having a left-footed centre-back in your team, he's absolutely right. Like, that's the only reason that it doesn't matter. The bottom line, it doesn't matter. Like, especially a modern centre-back like Tomori, he's good at playing the ball with both feet. Like, his distribution isn't going to be world-class, but he's good enough to play a 10-yard pass with both feet. So he would have been fine to start that left centre-back position. It completely makes sense because then you've got cover for Teo. You know, he can cover much more ground than what Romagnoli can because he's much quicker. Teo gets further forward. We've got that cover. And yeah, he didn't have the balls to drop the captain for the big game, but the captain didn't show up again. And I've said that's it now for me, that final straw. He isn't going to be consistent enough for what we want moving forward.
As a manager, I'd be more looking at the fact that I'd rather have two centre-backs that can defend over two centre-backs that can play out of the back. Yeah, I know it's like, it might be integral to the way that some managers play if you look at Pep and other managers like that, but I would take two defenders who understand the basics of defending and that can defend if they've got no feet over than a centre-back that's got a right foot and a centre-back that's got a left foot, as long as they can do their main job, which is defend. Forget about playing out from the back, just do your basics first.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that it must be said, this point, if Pioli agrees that Tomori would have been great for Lautaro because he drops a bit deeper and he plays the ball, Kier would have been much better to be left with Lukaku as well, because he can stand up to him physically. And I know he might not have the pace to compete with Lukaku, but what centre-backs really do?
Right.
And I don't think, yes, you can say Tomori, but it's obvious because he said Tomori is not really the guy to deal with Lukaku. I think that's right, because what he's saying there is that Lukaku's the one who's going to be closer to goal and he's going to be more you know, predatory, whereas Tomori likes to go and challenge the deep line forward, which he's right about. He's right about, but I think that's why Tomori Kia would have worked perfectly today, because they would have both been able to deal with the guys that they were meant to deal with. And instead, we were left with Romagnoli, who wasn't able to deal with either. But I think it should be pointed out, perhaps because of what was going on around him, Kia didn't have a great game either. I think he struggled for their second and third goals, to be honest.
He didn't, and I think if we're being fair, he hasn't looked on it for a few games now, and I think it could be similar to the Benacer situation. We're just trying to rush him back from injury because he's been one of our best players. But if you look at the Coppa Italia match, the way that Tomori and Romagnoli defended, I don't know how you couldn't start them two in the exact same game. Like, they were, Romagnoli had one of his best games of the season, if we're being honest, against Inter in the Coppa Italia, and Lukaku were silent in that game. Like, yeah, all right, he scored the penalty and the big palaver, but other than that, we kept him really quiet. And other than two goals not from open play, we didn't concede. So I just don't understand how you don't go with the same, near enough the same partnership that did so well before.
So head scratcher, I think he dare not play Kier, and I think he dare not drop the captain. So I think that falls on Pioli. You know, if he had the balls to make a decision like that, then that was the game to do it, and it was time to show something. Might it change because we've got to go to Roma, which is another game against a team that's challenging for the top four. I'd like to see him now say, right, that's it, you had your chance, it didn't work, we're going to try a different pairing from now on. But I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening. I don't think he could deal with the disharmony of what would come in the media. Yeah,
he seems like someone who wants to keep everything level-headed with the players on the field and doesn't want to take too much of a gamble. But at what point do you think the goal was Champions League? We're in second place. We have to play the players who are in form. You'd think the logical choice would be to do that, you know?
Just think he's in a hard place no matter what he does. If he starts, say, for example, if he goes bold and he starts Tomori Romagnoli, Tomori Kier, even Tomori Gabbia, and it fails, he's going to get criticised. If he starts Romagnoli Kier and it doesn't work, he's going to get, whatever happens from now on, everyone's going to be on him. So he has to get every tactic perfect. And I think he's going to be in such a difficult position now, unfairly and all, because if anyone said to any of us at the start of the season, you'll be second, 4 points behind Inter after 23 games, would have bit the hand off, and there's no point denying that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so anything from now he's going to struggle with, but he has got to get it perfect.
I agree with that. I think he's going to have a really difficult time, but also that's comes with being a manager. I mean, when shit gets rough, what's the first thing that happens? The manager gets fired, yeah, whether it's his fault or not. So you have to be willing to take those risks. You have to be willing to make those changes. And you can't care whose feelings you hurt along the way, whether it's fans, media, or players. Look at Conte. He shits on his team, his management, his players. He shits on everyone. Well, guess what? He's in first place. So, I mean, it's like you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And
I think
every substitution he made today was the wrong substitution, whether it be the minute or the player. Well, Yao should have came on, yes, but he should have came on, from the start, but at the very earliest halftime. And it should not have been for why can't I think of who came off? Salamakers. It should have been for Rebic, who was absolutely abysmal the entire game. You know,
he's been abysmal most of the season.
He really has. He had a chance when Hakan chipped that little ball to him. Granted, Hakan should have put it on his right foot and shot himself, kind of like Lukaku did, but he chipped it to Rebic, who was right there and could have just tapped it in if he gave a little effort, got to it, but he didn't. He just.
No, it was a bad pass that. I thought that was a poor ball. He weighted it too much towards Handanovic, but still, like, they weren't clicking. Yeah. And they haven't clicked, really. Rebic and Calhanoglu have not really got going. You know, and it's another derby where Teo was quiet as well. We were relying on Rebic playing for his defensive coverage and also for him to click with Teo so that we'd have that threat down the left side, which is our strong side. It didn't work. And I think the choice backfired because Liao was given into hell in the games that he started, you know. Mm-hmm. They couldn't really deal with his pace and with his creativity. We saw that in the first game. But he gambled and he went with Rebic because of the coverage and the work off the ball that he does, and it just wasn't there. Like, it didn't work. Ibra was left looking pretty isolated for most of the first half. Even when things changed, it didn't exactly get loads better. I think Çalhanoğlu deserves pointing, deserves singling out for the wrong reasons as well. I think he's been crap since he came back from COVID. Now, whether, because he did have symptoms, whether it, that has something to do with it, he's just not fit enough yet and he just can't get into that game rhythm. Mm-hmm. That might be something, but Christ, it shows when him and Kessié, who had a poor game, as we've mentioned, them two don't click, we have nothing down the middle. And they were more than happy to soak up pressure out wide because Ibra was so isolated against three centre-backs on his own. And then as for Salamakers, I mean, we know that neither Salamakers nor Castillejo are the answer really long-term. We know that. But the right side, again, was a black hole, I'm afraid.
If you have to play Rebic, if Pioli wants to play Rebic, then try Liao on the right. I mean, we know Liao was the tricky person that helped us in the first leg. There's no reason to not give him a shot, you know, whether it's in a position he's unfamiliar with and just hope for the best or give him the starting spot that he should have. But I don't know. I mean, it's rough on Salamakers because he's been pretty steady for us. But like you said, we know he's not the answer. And to bring on Castillejo for Zlatan, you could say it was because the game was over already. Don't risk injuries. Yeah, but this is a derby. Whether you're down 20-0 or 1-0, you fight till the end. And taking off your star player, the only person who's got this mentality to turn shit around, like, what does that say?
Well, I think
Zlatan was injured.
Yeah. So supposedly, he'd have to come off.
I wonder if it was.
I honestly didn't think that Zlatan looked that good.
Like, no, I think he did look. I think he was probably our most threatening player in a sense. Like, Handanovic pulled off some miraculous saves against us, and if Ibra had scored, I think we'd all be a lot happier than what we are right now, because I don't think it'd be 3-0 at all. But I just, Ibra's got to take a lot of criticism at the minute, especially if he goes to San Remo. Like, we can all sit back, joke around about it, but if your supposed leader, the one that's pulled us out of this slump, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it, when we're in a critical point where we're not playing well, you don't go to a fucking festival. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't.
Especially during a pandemic. Like, what?
Listen, people shit on Calabria for having a birthday party after a loss, and we want to give Zlatan a pass to go to a music festival?
Exactly.
Like,
what? Montella used to.
There's a game on while he's doing five nights. There's a game on the middle night.
He's going to be there for 5 days.
5 nights, yeah. 5 days.
No. He shouldn't be starting against Roma if he's going to be there for 5 days.
Bench him. I don't care if it was discussed before his contract renewal. Like, shit has changed.
Yeah, it was. It was pre-agreed.
But that's a different situation. Then it's like, okay, we're probably not going to be fighting for a title at that point. Like, let's be real. You could take a week off. It'll be okay. We don't know the schedule. But now it's like we're losing four games this season. We just dropped two straight. Like, no. The whole club needs to go into retiro, and Zlatan included. They cannot be taking time off for a fucking music festival. What kind of message does that send to the young kids on the squad? To the Tomoris, to the Romagnolis? Like, whoo, I'm getting fired up.
To the Romagnolis?
He's ass, dude. Whatever, I don't know.
I said this on Friday, that, like, what kind of message does it send to the youngsters? I don't think it matters if we're fighting for first, for relegation, survival, for Europe, top half, whatever. Your supposed star player, your leader, whatever you want to call him. People have called for him to be captain. A captain doesn't fuck off mid-season to a music festival. I don't know any clubs that allow a player to leave mid-season to go fulfil other duties other than playing football. Like, if it was the Africa Cup of Nations, whatever, it's a national team, you've got to have a bit of understanding about players wanting to play for the national team. To go sing a duet with Mihalovic, like some High School Musical kind of shit, it doesn't work for me.
It basically would, but and that diminishes our size to everyone else in the club. I mean,
it makes us look stupid by him going there in the midst of everything that's going wrong at the minute with the club.
If we were 5 points clear with some first, other manager, sure, but we're not. You know, like,
I don't even agree.
We said with that on Friday that there is. It really is not a win-win situation at all, really. Zlatan gets a PR boost out of this, but the club get nothing out of it. So why did we even agree to it in the first place? The current rumour is that things will change and he'll probably only do the first and or the last night in person, and the rest of it he'll video in. I think that's more likely. I don't think I just can't see things staying the way they are because it's already generating negative headlines, and he'll know that. He's not stupid. Anyway, before we move on from the Inter game, well, actually, just in general, is it time to start thinking about, and Pioli hinted that it's not fixed the way that we play at the moment. Is it time to start thinking about a formation change?
Yeah, every great manager has the ability to adapt and change mid-game or even pre-game to match and beat your opponent. One thing we've seen is our midfield gets overran by very specific lineups and very specific styles of play. So when we come against those, what do? We need to adapt and change, and we're not.
Yeah, I agree that we need, like, a backup plan. I mean, we said this last week, didn't we? We can't just keep going into every game 4-2-3-1 and not being able to adapt. But based on today's game, I don't think we were horrendous. I think it's obvious to overreact when we've lost 3-0. Like, it hurts losing 3-0 in the derby. But if you look at it from a bigger perspective, like I said, if Ibra had scored, it would have been a totally different game. We had 60% possession. We were, in a sense, all over him looking for that goal. And if we'd have come out in the second half and started the second half like we did the first half, we'd have complained that we weren't looking for the goal. Instead, we came out looking for the goal, and you open yourself up to a counter-attack, and that's what we did. It was sloppy defending, but it's a risk that you've got to take. I wouldn't say that 4-2-3-1 is necessarily the formation, but I do agree that we do need some sort of backup formation for it.
I think there's growing calls for it to be the 3-5-2, and I'm going to write something on it. I think it makes an awful lot of sense because of the amount of coverage that it offers. If we play three at the back, then I think we'll start to see at least a more functional Romagnoli, for example. Of course, there's no guarantees that you get in a back three, but for me, if you put him in the middle and he's got two players either side of him who are both faster and more physical, then I think he's protected a little bit more. So I'd have Kieran Tomori back in there as well. That then frees up Teo to be a wing-back, and we've seen what Hakimi can do playing as a wing-back where he's actually got full licence to get forward when the moment's right. Calabria then would see how he'd adapt. Now, he, to me, is more of a full-back than a natural wing-back, but we've seen that he can do things well going forward, and also he could tuck in when we needed that. But the three-man midfield is massive as well because of the way that we play, which is obviously pressing, counter-attacking, we do everything in waves. We get forward in waves and we try and defend in waves and we press in numbers. And the 3-5-2 offers that because you've got three centre-backs, you've got three central midfielders, you've got two up front, you've got numbers in all areas naturally pressing, and you don't look as disjointed, especially against teams like Atalanta that know how to do it better than us. At the moment, they know how to do it better than us. The sum of the parts that they have as a squad is not the same as what we have. You know, they're very good at scouting young talent and they're very good at developing them by playing a certain way. They're ahead of us. Inter are ahead of us in the way that they play. You know, we've seen it with the way that they're clicking. You know, at the moment they're ahead of us. I think it's time that we just do something a little bit different because I fear that we'll become too predictable. But not only that, I'm worried about the confidence of the younger players. I'm worried that if we start sliding, then it's going to be really hard to stop. And it would suggest that there's some kind of systemic problem rather than just, oh, we're unlucky, we're losing a few games, but we're playing well. Because we're seeing time and time again that we're losing in a similar manner to teams that set up in a similar way. It's time to adapt. You've got to be proactive, not reactive, because by the time you're reactive, we're in fifth place. We've got to figure it out. I think he might be thinking about it as well. There's people saying 4-4-2, and I just don't get that at all. That doesn't really fix any problems.
If anything, a 4-4-2, you lose a midfielder because obviously you lose that centre attacking midfielder role because obviously he'll go more up top. And at least with a 4-2-3-1, that number 10 role can sit in. So with a 4-4-2, if anything, you're opening yourself up even more to a three man midfield and getting overrun.
We can look really, really bad from a creativity standpoint when Ibra gets isolated. I mean, we saw that against Spezia. I never thought we'd be outcoached by Vincenzo Italiano, but we were. And they kept Ibra very quiet. But if you play two up top, then you give him a partner, someone, because he wins knockdowns no matter what. He wins flick-ons no matter what. Give him a Rebic or a Leao next to him, then I think we look a lot better there. As said, I think the midfield trio, against most teams, you'd have Kessié, Bennacer and Çalhanoğlu as the midfield trio. You could even call it a 3-4-1-2. And yeah, I don't know. I just think it makes a lot of sense. But I don't know if people will appreciate going back and reinventing the wheel, as it were. Don't know. Red Star. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't anyone who massively impressed me that they had. You know, like, obviously, when we played Bodo, for example, we were told, look out for this guy, he's scoring bags. And Lille, we knew that Yazici was dangerous by the second leg. We knew that Renato Sanchez is mint and stuff like that. There was nobody that stood out for Red Star for me and was like, oh, we're going to have to watch out for this kid in the second leg. So, I don't know. Prediction, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to probably go out and get the job done. I know I've been, like, really negative the first hour of this whole podcast, but, I mean, like you said, there was nothing about Red Star that did anything for me. And we basically, I mean, we scored four goals. Two of them didn't count, sure, but we scored four.
Making the opportunity.
If they didn't count, then you can't say that we scored four goals. That's like just like
we put the ball in the back of the net four times.
We scored. Okay.
No, but it's still making the opportunity. It's not like putting the ball in the back of the net from halfway line because he's blown for a free kick. Yeah. Like they all got overturned in a sense. Like the opportunities were still there. Yeah, it might be like fractional offside, this, that, the other.
But yeah. And that's what it was. You look at how they got called off. Like it was, like you said, a fractional offside. I mean, less than a foot was offside for the first goal. And the second one was a handball that hit him like, you know, upper bicep. Like it's hardly a handball. It is one. And you know, you call it, I agree, it should have been called a handball. But like if that hit his chest, the trajectory of the ball is not going anywhere different than where it did hit. So
dude, that's just reminded it's not me a goal. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
well, I know, I'm saying we're capable of doing it. We can do it. And at home, when we don't have fans magically sneaking in to racially abuse Latin somehow, like we'll be fine. You know, we're going to come through and we're probably going to get a 2-0 or a 3-0.
That's just reminded me about another thing from the game on Thursday, like the Romagnoli penalty that he gave away. It's just another scenario in which Romagnoli is just looking worse and worse as week goes on. I don't think I'm overreacting in that sense. Like, that's a sloppy thing to do from a centre back's point of view.
And he had a big error right before that penalty too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. That's the thing is, if we're going to give credit to Romagnoli, like saying his strengths are his awareness, his anticipation, it's all in here rather than what he brings in terms of being like a physical unit, whatever. Don't stick your arm out behind you like that, you know? It's like we've seen so many penalties given against us. Just keep your arms down by your side, for Christ's sake.
Doesn't do that, and guess what? We win that game. So,
yeah.
I mean, for the Red Star game, whatever team we're selecting on Sunday against Roma should start against Red Star. And I know that might sound a bit, well,
no, I agree.
Players need rest, but the team needs to start getting some chemistry back. They need to get some confidence back. They need to get a swagger back and start the team that's starting on Sunday. Get confidence in them. Get them 2-3 goals at half time. We know we can do it. We're not naive enough to think that we can't. So just get that confidence in. Get the tie done with your starters. Then you can rest them. Don't rest them before the game. Rest them when the game's done. One, they've got some confidence back in them.
Yeah, put the game away early and then take your starters off at halftime. You know, like get the job done first. We can't,
instead
like,
of bringing your starters.
Ultimately, it's a 2-2 tie. You know, like if they score one, they 1-0 us, we're out. And that's a possibility. So, like you said, starters, get them in there, get it over with, get ready for
you guys think that Leao starts over Ibra?
No.
I would like to see that because if I did notice one thing about Red Star, it's that their centre-backs are really slow. I'd like to see a runner in behind. And for that reason, I would consider playing Leao up front. But
depends on San Remo starts.
Yeah. Oh. What time is Latin?
Depends when San Remo starts.
Yeah.
Where is this? Yeah. Is this music festival in Italy?
Yeah,
it's like 2 hours away from Milan.
It's not far from where Spezia is. It's in Liguria. like that's the region. So that's fun. I think he's going to stay in Monte Carlo though, or something. So that's
yeah. He's literally he's like on the border with France and Monaco. Like it is really close to each other, 2 hours yeah. even.
He's just going to party. Is that the is that what he's doing?
I mean, he's making a public figure.
Sing a duet.
He's getting paid to be
but that's
there.
Like, that's a perception that comes across, doesn't it? Like mm-hmm. it's a festival and he's off there being happy while we're struggling.
You know what? If it was a charity commitment or something, you'd even be a bit more like, okay, fair enough. That's
but it's not. It's just PR.
But for 5 days, that's not charity. That's pleasure, man.
No, but it still could be classed as a charity if like it were a charitable like festival, but this is nothing more than a personal gain for Ibra. Like Milan don't get money for it. Ibra is gaining from it. We're not.
I'm gonna say we win 3-1 anyway, just before we get too far off topic. 3-0. Yeah.
I'm gonna say 2-1.
2-0. 2-0. Just get the job done.
I'm gonna be bitten on the ass for that, but I find it difficult to imagine us conceding at home, you know, given how their goals came. But
I don't think that us being at home is any different than, you know, there's no fans in the stadium, so.
Yeah, but somehow Red Star had people in the stadium, so.
They did, yeah. Which how Red Star haven't travelled abroad for a long time because they haven't travelled anywhere because the Serbian league was suspended for a little bit and it come back, but. The last game that they lost was away in Germany in last November, I think it was, in the group stages. So they might not be used to the travelling. We'll see. Roma, anyway, third in the table. They're pretty dangerous, albeit still seem to have their problems against the top sides. For example, they drew 2-2 with Inter, which was a big result for us at the time, but they lost the derby 3-0 against Lazio. They went and lost to Juve the game before last. But they're doing pretty well at home. They haven't lost a game at the Olympico in the league yet this season. How are we feeling about this one?
I'm pretty confident about it, to be honest, because Roma have been pretty poor against the top six. If we go back to the start of the season, they only won because we had Tatarusano in net. I think that's pretty obvious. No disrespect to him, he's been decent in the other games, but he was at fault majority of the time.
Well, and there's also like the sketchy penalty as well for both teams.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
like,
you
know.
That game
was
had red flags all over it.
Yeah,
there was enough in that. But I think that's why I'm so confident that we're going to get top four because us and Inter, we've been probably the most consistent teams all season, whereas everyone else below us have been inconsistent. Roma, still inconsistent. Juve, blah, blah, blah. So I'm fairly confident we'll just get the job done against Roma.
I think that this is going to be a statement game. Either we want to make top four and we beat them, or we're going to crash out of top four and we're going to lose.
I think there's still 15 games. Is it 15 games left or 14 games left? Where I don't even think the Scudetto's out of the question, if we're being honest. Like, yeah, all right, they've got no competition, but it's only 4 points. That's like a loss against Juve to Inter in. A draw against, say, like an Atalanta or something like that, and we're straight back in the race. Like, I think we're being
ourselves. It'd be wrong to give it up, definitely. You know, we've said, like, we've been in first place for so long, so the objective has to be to fight to stay there, and now we're not in first place. It has to be to fight to get it back. If we don't finish first and we narrowly finish behind, that means we've got our main goal, and that's top four. I don't really want the narrative to shift to it now being a top four fight. However, if we go to Roma and lose on Sunday, that's absolutely what it becomes because they'll be level on points with us if they win their game in hand then. And all of a sudden, the narrative changes. I think it's going to be...
And that's what I'm kind of worried about is like the mental narrative of the players is, I think, has already changed from Scudetto to top four. You know, the whole time it was over the summer, like, yeah, we really want to get top four. We're going to push for Champions League. And then Zlatan said, we have our own objective, but it's a secret. Well, we found out pretty damn quick it was the Scudetto and we fought forward for 20 odd weeks and then we dropped out and the players were kind of crashed back to reality and they're like, okay, we were never going to get to anyways, you know, our goal was top four, so it's okay, we could let off a little bit, and now we're just crashing and crashing and crashing, and hopefully it doesn't catch up to them. But I think this Roma game is going to be a lot harder than people think, you know, just because you look at the lineup from last time out, it's basically everyone who started today with the exception of Tatarushanu and Benacer, but that's like We've seen now Hakan is in poor form. Romagnoli's in poor form. Kjaer's in poor form. Zlatan's in poor form. I mean, everyone who was great in that game is not doing great right now. So we either need wholesale changes or we need everyone to get back to what they were doing. And neither of those are easy things to come across. So I don't know. I think this is going to be really tough. I wouldn't be surprised if this was like a 2-2 draw.
I was going to say a 2-2 draw is my prediction. I think both teams have shown their defences to be a bit leaky in recent weeks. If we are going to get a positive result from this game, we need to score first, though, I think. I'm scared about us conceding against a dangerous team and the heads dropping a little bit.
That's the thing. We have to score first in every single game if we want to win, because we crumble as soon as they get the go-ahead goal. We have not been able to beat anyone.
Yeah, I'll say 2-2, though.
I think we're going to win 2-0, but it's going to be a hard 2-0 to win.
It would be a statement result, you know, even still. I don't think it
has to be. You know,
if we go down and win and hand them their first home league defeat of the season, I think we should take some pride in that. You know, it would be a big deal. Just because we lost a more important game the week before, it doesn't diminish the achievement.
This is going to be controversial. Honestly, a shitty thing to say. But I know he's not going to drop the captain. You know, your coach isn't going to do that. So hopefully something happens to where he just can't play. And Tomori gets the nod because of it. That's just the only way right now. Romagnoli's got to sit out for a bit and figure it out. Because ever since he came back from injury, he's been a liability. Plain and simple.
What it was a muscle injury, right?
Yeah.
It was something. He was gone for a while.
We're having a lot of thigh problems at the moment.
What a princess, man.
About Benacer coming off again in the Red Star game. I said it was a bad idea to start him 3 times in 8 days, which is what we were viewing to do. And bang, he goes down after just spending 2 months out to think that he can start 3 games in 8 days. I think was a little bit naive.
I think another part of it was we did so well with so many injuries that when we finally got, you know, the core best 11 back, everyone's like, oh, well, we've done great without each other. Now we got everyone back. We're for sure good. And they just let off a bit. And then it got them.
Yeah, I think I agree with that bit, to be fair, because when you spend so long with 5 or 6 players out, you become accustomed to playing with the other players that weren't playing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, you throw a Benacer into the team and you can't not forget how to play with him, but you're like, well, that's not how Tonali plays. You throw Rebic into the team. Well, that's not how Leao plays. You throw Hakan in. Oh, but we've been doing it differently with Diaz. And it all does subconsciously. It all comes together and you start thinking, but this isn't how we play at the minute. This isn't what's been getting us our results. And I think we just need to go back, not to the drawing board, but just analyse all our performances post-COVID up until the start of this season and think and go back to what we were actually good at. Like, when we're beating Juventus 4-2, like, that's stuff like that. It's not what we used to, but the way that we played was so good to see. And I think if we go back and look how we did it against them and try get it back into the head, then I think we'll be all right. But against Roma, I think my prediction, it totally depends on if we beat Red Star or not. I think if we beat Red Star, I say we beat Roma. If we lose to Red Star, then I'll become a little bit worried, but I think we'll draw. I don't see us losing, but I'm going to go either a 1-1 draw or a 2-1 win.
I like it. Right, let's do some questions. Tick Size asks, since Milan have been on a slow decline since Christmas, convince me we're going to finish top four. I'll just quickly repeat what Jan said. I think the other teams below us seem to be a little bit more inconsistent. Just as long as we can go at like a relatively decent points pace for these last few games, we should be okay, because all the top teams have still got to play each other. We need to remember that. And that's going to be important. So I think we'll be okay, because I don't think other teams will pick up, you know, whatever's needed, 6-9 more points than us in these remaining games.
We've still got to play, obviously, the other top 5 teams, because we only played Inter at the start of the second round of fixtures. But we've been in the top 4 since the start of the season for 23 rounds. Nothing suggests to me that for the next 15 rounds, we'll drop out of it. I know we've got enough. I'm not going to overreact and say, oh, no, crisis, we're not even going to finish in the top half. Like, we'll get top 4. I'm not worried about that.
I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not going to reassure you. It's risky.
Yeah, I'm with AJ.
Sorry. Well, I just you look at the first half of the season. At this point, first half of the season, we had 12 out of 12. Right now, we have 6 out of 12. So, I mean, things are already going a little shittier. Yeah, the top teams have to play each other, but we still have to play all of them too. And now we're dropping to A, the number one team, and B, the number 20 team. Like, we're not off to a good start the second half of the season. So we'll see what happens.
That's a fair point. I didn't think about the points total comparatively, but then you think, well, like that Hellas Verona draw and the Parma draw, those two home draws, can we turn those into wins?
Mm-hmm. The Genoa draw, the Roma draw.
No, then like if they become wins and we match that points total, then we're going to be right up there, you know. But I am worried about us playing the other top teams. Like, we've got to go to Atalanta away last game of the season. That is, if we need something from that game to finish top four, I'll be scared because they're just having
them.
Right, next question. Lucas asked what three transfers would make us Champions League contenders? Is that fantasy football or realistic?
Messi, Haaland, Mbappe? Like, we need a lot to get to Champions League contenders.
Is it in Champions League?
Are you talking about winning the Champions League?
For a deep run, and also, let's say, not fantasy like Mbappe and Messi.
We need another center back because Romagnoli is not going to cut it, and we can't count on Tomori
real close.
Pierre to play every game.
I'd say I agree with that. Like, Ramos as a center back would take us to the next level in defense in terms of he's got the Champions League experience to pull us through them kind of games. I think that'd be a dream signing for the back, him and Tomori together.
Yeah, we're able to drop 60, 70 million on a player, we're not going to be contending for Champions League.
Yeah.
The one guy I
really... salary that they deserve.
I don't see it being with us if he does come back to Italy, but the one guy I really think would just be absolutely incredible would be Marco Verratti. Every time I watch him, I'm just Jesus Christ, he's amazing. At driving play forward, when you've got a midfielder who, no matter how much they're being pressured, they are not scared on the ball. When he's in possession, he looks like he doesn't give a shit. And that's kind of what we need when we come up against these teams that press.
Funny enough, that's what we thought of Bilia, his first like three games with us.
Absolutely.
That's what Verratti with Benacer.
Yeah, definitely.
But everyone like talks if Benacer is like, you know, Pirlo, Seedorf, whatever you want to, Johnny Rivera, like some sort of god. He's had, I don't want to be too harsh, but he's not even had a good full year yet, if we're being realistic. Like, the first half of this season were poor, if we're being fair. The second half was good, but then we haven't really seen him this season, to be honest. So everyone says he's like indispensable to the club, but I disagree. And if someone activates that 50 million release clause, I wouldn't be disappointed. And we know PSG is sniffing, so I wouldn't say no to a swap.
I ask this now because it's the follow-up question from Lucas. Thoughts on Tonali? I think he's really stepped up and he could take Benacer's place permanently.
I think he's on the path.
I think that he's on the path to be a starter. I would not consider him a starter now, though.
Yeah. I think... I said in the chat, and you know, it might have been a hot take. I don't think Tonali's had a game for us that's been over a 6.5 out of 10 yet, and he's had a few 4 out of 10 kind of games, and those have hurt us. But he's getting more and more towards that 6-7 out of 10 range with every game that we play, and that's what we need. If we get him playing, he's learning, he's adapting to the double pivot. He's adapting to a team that sees a lot more of the ball than what Brescia did last season. And I think that he's struggled with knowing what to do with it sometimes. But when the shackles are off and he gets time to drive forward, like we saw that shot, he nearly scored. He nearly equalised in the derby today. That would have been an incredible start.
The assist against Red Star for the penalty, like the way that he skipped over his man and then drove forward with the ball.
I wonder, you know, about him potentially playing as a number 10, but that's for another time. But he does look dangerous when he gets forward and stuff. But I don't think
I would say a number 10 is in his future. I think he plays kind of like that Milinkovic-Savage role, box to box. It just happens to be pretty good at attacking as well. But
what about a 4-3-3 to fit him in?
I'd say yes, but then 4-3-3. We saw what Kessie were like in a 4-3-3, and he wasn't. It wasn't great. Yeah. It was good, but it wasn't great. Like, at what point do you... It's hard to swap the formation around just to suit one player. You've got to find the right balance. And that's what I do think for the plays we've got currently, 4-2-3-1 is the correct formation. Going forward, is it the right formation? That's a different question. You've got to look at your budget, your transfers and stuff like that. But currently for the players we've got, that's why I think 4-2-3-1 is the correct formation going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tonali, like always said, he's used to a team that doesn't have much possession. You know, Brescia averaged like 35 to 40% a game last season. And so he would get the ball, he would take a quick scan, and he'd pass it. That's what he could do. Whereas Milan, I mean, even today, we lost 3-0. We had over 60% of possession, I believe, towards the end of the game. I mean, we always have the majority of possession. Not always, but just about always. And so he, when we first got him, he made those quick rash decisions and it wasn't working out. And that's why everyone's like, he needs more time. But now that he's got that more time, he is slowly starting to, you know, play with the ball. Like you said, made that run for the shot on goal. He had the penalty assist. I mean, he's made good plays and we've seen it from him before. Even at Brescia, he's able to make those decisions. I mean, that's why he's so highly rated. He definitely can become a starter.
All I'll say is if we gave Bennacer so much time to adjust, to adapt and grow and eventually blossom into one of the best midfielders in the league, even though his form's not showing it, we need to give that same time to Tonali, without a doubt. He's an investment that we clearly value.
I agree, and I don't like dwelling on stats too much, but Bennacer had one goal contribution last season for us, one in the full season. Like Tonali, yeah, he hasn't got that goal contribution yet, unless you kind of account the assist for the penalty, but you have got to give players time. You can't just throw them into a starting 11 and expect them to be next level, especially when he wasn't even supposed to be a starter. He was supposed to learn from Bennacer, and instead he's just been thrown into it and being told, that's your role, play it.
He's getting close to scoring his first goal, though. Today, man, I wish
he'd
so close.
He scored that exact goal against us 2 seasons ago, right?
Yeah, no.
Or was it last season?
I can't remember what it was. There was a free kick that he scored against someone.
Was it? Oh, it was a free kick. I just know it was a fucking howler, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to wrap it up, boys, because I'm conscious of time. But yeah, thank you for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our ranting. Sorry it's been a bit negative, but hopefully we got 2 dubs to recap next week. That would be nice. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle. AJ?
Yep, Torg45.
Edward _ Toth.
At UK_AC Milan.
That's the one. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us, everybody, and hopefully we will catch you in a week's time feeling a bit more positive.
Andrea Conti, bella palla per Rebic. Rebic Ibra. Rebic. 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 Il tiro. Goal!